This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. This week, a limited number of tickets for the 2020 French Open went on sale. The tournament at Roland Garros, originally scheduled for this May and June, is set to begin in late September. We'll see if that really happens. The French Open is famously the only of tennis's four Grand Slams played on clay.
There's kind of like no reason for it until you ask yourself, wait, why am I playing on sand? Like, we don't play basketball on sand.
That's poet and writer Rowan Ricardo Phillips.
Like, you know why you play on grass, more or less. You know, tennis became lawn tennis because there were croquet courts all over the place and nobody was playing croquet anymore. So they put up some nets and said, let's play. And you know why you play on hard court. Hard courts are easy to maintain. It's the natural evolution. But with clay, why throw some sand down and say, let's play, and start slipping and sliding all over the place?
Phillips wrote a book called The Circuit, which he says is a love song to the 2017 men's tennis season. But in his research for that love song, Phillips uncovered a dark tale behind the origin of clay court tennis. Only a Game's Martin Kessler has the story.
On a winter morning in 1903, Georges-Henri Gougoultz was fatally wounded. For decades, Gougoultz had been the proprietor of a luxury hotel in Cannes. It was called the Beau Site, and it boasted of its large, beautiful gardens and its unequaled view of the Mediterranean Sea. But it was in Cannes, along the French Riviera, that Gougoultz met a grisly end.
As the Courrier, the local paper in Cannes, noted, he was found dead by suicide, having shot himself in the head three times. You should pause and wonder how one shoots oneself in the head three times.
He survived his horrible injuries for 2 hours in great agony before breathing his last breath, the local paper stated. Georges-Henri Gougoultz, this man who met a mysterious end, may also be the uncredited inventor of the clay court.
The story of clay court tennis, what we're told, wasn't really what happened.
Rowan Ricardo Phillips will tell you that the introduction of the clay court is the greatest innovation in tennis history. And if you think that sounds hyperbolic, consider this.
It's really oxygenated where tennis can be and how tennis can be played. The next time you happen to glance at a clay court, just also keep in mind where you are.
See, the clay court isn't just some rust-colored novelty. It changes the game. As Phillips describes it, shots sponge off the granular surface, slowing balls down and trampolining them back into the air. Especially compared to grass courts, which keep balls faster and lower, clay favors a different style of player.
Still the champion of red clay, nine, and counting for Nadal.
Make it an even dozen for Rafa at Roland Garros.
But perhaps most importantly, the clay court helped tennis take hold and flourish in climates not well suited for maintaining grass, as evidenced by the locales of today's most famous clay tournaments beyond Paris.
You know, Monte Carlo, Barcelona, Rome, Madrid. But also, you find yourself in South America, Buenos Aires, Rio.
The only ATP tournament in Africa, the Grand Prix Hassan II in Marrakesh, is also on clay.
It's made it an even more global sport.
There's a commonly understood version of how clay came to be a part of tennis, and it goes something like this.
There were, in the late 19th century, twin brothers, Ernest and William Renshaw from England.
Phillips says the Renshaw brothers were the first superstars of tennis.
I mean, so famous that they had a lawn shoe named after them. The Renshaw shoe, a Oxford loafer, basically, with a rubber sole.
The first Air Jordan.
Basically, right? And kind of the Williams sisters before the Williams sisters, right? But the idea is that the Renshaws came, like many English in the late 19th century, to the Côte d'Azur, the French Riviera, to winter.
By that point, lawn tennis had become, Philip says, the sport du jour in France and England, especially for the leisure class. And the Renshaw brothers, like other tennis players, could make money giving lessons to guests wintering at the resorts along the French Riviera, like the Hotel Beausite.
Now, if you have a hotel and you have grass courts and you're putting them to good use, the good thing is that there's activity and there's notice around tennis. The bad thing is, as you see, come 2 days into Wimbledon, the grass starts to suffer, which isn't the most aesthetically then pleasing way to present your hotel.
And so, the myth continues, there was this problem that needed solving.
But never fear, because the great Renshaw brothers had a wonderful idea. They knew that they can go to the nearby town of Valory, a small French town with a wonderful and long tradition of pottery and clay making. And they can take all of the shards and unused ceramics and pulverize them, transport them to Cannes, where they're staying at the Hotel Beausite, and spread out these powdered ceramics, these pulverized jars, onto the court, which would protect the surface, add also a layer of style and aesthetic, a new color, and everybody would be happy.
Yeah, and so what are the major holes in that story? Where, if you were to bring this to a court of law, what would be your top evidence that this is not true?
Well, we can start with the simple fact that there is no record of the Renshaws arriving at the Hotel Beausite in Cannes until many, many years after there had already been the clay courts laid at the Hotel Beausite.
Phillips found photos and advertisements showing the clay courts at the Beausite in the early 1880s. And yet, the local papers don't put the Renshaw brothers at the hotel before 1885.
Keep in mind, this is the era of Belle Époque. This is the rise of celebrity. This is when the local papers would mention if someone slightly famous scratched their ankle while having tea in the afternoon.
And when the Renshaw brothers did finally show up in the local papers, there were descriptions of them playing on the Beausite's clay courts, but no mention of their great innovation of just a few years earlier. In fact, while William Renshaw went on to win a total of 7 Wimbledon singles titles, Philip says there was never a mention in contemporary newspaper accounts of his role in inventing the clay court.
It seems strange. It would be kind of like if this were to happen with the Williams sisters and kind of nobody ever talks about it at all. The more I dug, the more that I found that there was another story going on, and one that it would kind of make sense to keep on the back burner.
This is where we return to George-Henri Gougoultz, the hotel owner who supposedly shot himself in the head 3 times. In 1867, he purchased a chateau on a hill in Cannes and turned it into the Hotel Beausite.
And he began to immediately undergo renovations. He wanted his hotels to be bigger, better, and also to be in the news. He had noticed that some of the hotels in the area were attracting a more, shall we say, upper level of clientele, some royals, some celebrities. And if you check the travel advertisements of the time, they were announcing wonderful, innovative things such as tennis courts. This is something that George-Henri Gougoultz didn't have.
But he wasn't afraid to spend money, especially money he didn't have, to improve his hotel.
He was getting heavily into debt with investors. I checked the Swiss and French court statements from around these times, the 1860s, 1870s, 1880s, and this man was basically a huckster. He was filing false reports, and he was basically trying to find a way to get in and get on top of the hotel game. Tennis was, of course, a part of that.
So Gougoultz added grass courts to the Hotel Beausite.
It's so wonderfully like from central casting. The hotel sat on top of a hill with palm trees that were kind of like, you know, imported and planted there. And then down at the bottom of the hill were the courts. But if you don't have a lot of money and you notice that once you have grass courts, that your courts are getting incredibly, how would I put it in French, effed up. That's then also hurting your goal, which is to bring people to your attractive hotel.
So instead of keeping those grass courts, which would have been expensive to maintain, the Beau Site suddenly became the first hotel to cover its courts with clay. This would remove the need for constant watering and allow guests to play all day without damaging the surface. This switch to clay, Philip suggests, would be a wise move for a hotel owner like Georges-Henri Gougoultz, who was constantly in debt.
If you check the records, you'll find that there is no mention of the invention of these courts as a nouvelle thing. But there was this quick and sudden transformation from Gougoultz's courts going from grass to clay.
Gougoultz got what he wanted. The Hotel Beau Site became a destination for the middle and upper class, for Americans on holiday, and for tennis players.
The courts were renowned. There were none other like them. You can play all day. People were writing about them.
And about 5 years after the clay courts were laid, those noteworthy guests arrived.
You can have a really good sense of what the Beau Site meant to tennis with the fact that William and Ernest Renshaw, at the peak of their fame, were there playing, giving lessons.
Philip says the Beau Site was the epicenter of tennis on the continent for about a decade. But Gougoultz's financial troubles continued, and the Beau Site's run came to an end.
Eventually, he saw his idea go into other people's hands at other more established facilities. Other hotels in nearby areas, Nice, for instance, and later, of course, Monaco, became much hotter destinations for people looking to play a good game of tennis. Even William Renshaw picked up his rackets and moved over to another hotel in another town.
Gougoultz was still deep in debt, which is a big part of the reason Phillips has an interesting theory about who may have originated that myth that it was the famous Renshaw brothers who came up with the idea of the clay court. Phillips thinks it may have been the Beau Site's proprietor himself.
Given what we know about Georges-Henri Gougoultz and his tendency towards scams, speculation, and money grabs, that it would be quite convenient that you have a story about these wonderful clay courts being devised by the Renshaw brothers. And that myth, I think, was a bit of a desperate stab, an elegantly desperate stab by a very desperate man who was trying to keep his hotel afloat, in part for his own ego and ambition, but also because by that point, he was so indebted.
Gougoultz, in fact, had lost ownership of his hotel.
He had become a figurehead. It was basically in the hands of the moneyed men of Caen, who kept him around as proprietor in name.
Philip says that for years, many of Gougoultz's legal and financial troubles were kept relatively quiet. They didn't appear in the local newspapers. But by 1902, more than a decade after the Beau Site had lost its prime standing in tennis, Philip says Gougoultz's debts had caught up to him. That year, he declared bankruptcy.
Very publicly in the paper. I think that was a sign of people losing patience with Gougoultz.
Months later, he was dead.
With a quote-unquote self-inflicted series of gunshot wounds, three times in the head, close quote.
Rowan Ricardo Phillips says the Hotel Beau Site eventually became condos. As for Georges-Henri Gougoultz's original clay courts, Phillips doesn't know what happened to them. He suspects they were razed during a renovation. Today, there are no tennis tournaments of note held in Caen. But when the French Open begins this September or next May, the best players in the world will dig into the clay, and very few will know who they have to thank for it.
That's Only a Game's Martin Kessler. Rowan Ricardo Phillips is the author of The Circuit, A Tennis Odyssey. We'll have a link at onlyagame.org.